And welcome back into the Sports Ticket here on Katy Country 94. We are pleased to be joined by the voice of the Jayhawks, Brian Haney, for our weekly chat. And it's brought to you by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Michelle, 118 North Millen Boulevard, or call them at 785-738-5701. Brian, thanks for taking some time to be with us again this morning. Coming off of another tough loss for the KU football team on Saturday, 49-7 at Baylor. I think everybody was kind of interested to see how they would bounce back after the tough loss to TCU there at home the week before, and just didn't really go well for KU, down 42-0 at half and losing 49-7.
Yeah, not the start they'd hoped for offensively, Dusty. It was, you know, a situation in which you move the ball into Baylor's territory on your opening drive, already trailing 7-0, and you feel like if you can go down and get a score and match them early, not only do you establish confidence that maybe you can sustain throughout the game, but, you know, a situation where it's competitive for deeper into the contest. But they're at first and 10 on the 42-yard line of Baylor, and we see Ryan Willis throw across the field to the left side, and Ryan Reed jumps the route and takes it 64 yards to the house for a pick six. In that moment, obviously, you're only down 14-0, but I think it was a much bigger blow to Kansas just because Ryan Willis, I'm not sure, ever fully got back on track after that and ultimately had three INTs on the day. Kansas with five total turnovers on the day. And I really thought the defense competed well in that first half. There were three drives in which they came on the field with Baylor having the ball already in Kansas territory or near midfield. And in those three consecutive drives, on 14 plays, they gave up just 20 yards and 0 points, two missed field goals. And so I feel like the defense, to a certain extent, did all it could to stay in that game. But with the offense struggling to get it going and obviously turning the ball over like they did, it was just too much to overcome. And I think it's one of those days that they want to flush the results of that one pretty quickly. I don't think they'll spend too much time going over Baylor, rather turning their focus to a really good Oklahoma State team that I think is much better than the 4-2 record might indicate. We all saw what happened with Central Michigan, a play that shouldn't have counted, an erroneous play that the officials got wrong to award the Chippewas an extra crack at the end zone, and they went on the Hail Mary. And then they had two chances, did Oklahoma State, to beat Baylor in Waco, two chances to go up in the fourth quarter, and didn't capitalize on those. And so I say that to reference 4-2 looks pretty good, but they're a whisker and an eyelash away from 5-1 or 6-0. So it's a good team coming to town this week.
Just extending just a little bit on the Baylor game on Saturday, the punter Cole Moose is named the Big 12 Special Teams Player of the Week, and you know it's a great honor, but it's one of those that you're kind of like, eh, that's probably not what you want when your punter's named the Special Teams Player of the Week. But he did do a very good job on Saturday for KU.
Yeah, I remember a Chiefs Colts game back in the '90s when the Colts never had to punt, and that's what you want, right?
Yeah,
you don't necessarily want to lead the league in a category that involves giving the ball away. But when you have to give the ball away and flip the field, he did a great job of that. 82 yards on one punt, 73 on another. Those are almost John Hadle-type numbers, who had a 94-yarder back in the day versus Oklahoma. So that was great to see for Cole. And a lot of that was bounce and roll and kicking with the wind at your back in a couple of instances. But what's cool is they've got a kid in Kyle Thompson on this roster who's a freshman that has an even bigger leg and maybe significantly bigger. And yet, you know, Moose being the junior, they're trying to give Thompson a chance to possibly redshirt, and if not, at least get a chance to be a little bit more comfortable back there in receiving those snaps and getting loose of those punts. But I tell you that to say that at that one position, you've got really good depth and a guy in Thompson that looks like an all-league performer 3 years down the line from now. So the fact that Moose made a conference weekly honor in this particular week is exciting, but there could be even bigger punts from an even bigger leg coming up not too far down the line.
You know, we're talking with Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, here on the Sports Ticket, again brought to you by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Michelle, 118 North Millen Boulevard, or call them at 738-5701. You mentioned when talking about the Baylor game, the turnovers, and KU had five of those compared to just one for Baylor. Is it something that they can fix? What's the thing that you're seeing for KU? Because they've had a lot of turnover issues this season.
Yeah, you know, Coach Beatty would tell you it's all correctable stuff. And some of this is pre-snap reads, but a lot of it is decision-making once the ball is hiked. And we saw Baylor with basically three coverages, but they were disguising their coverages, and that's something that Ryan Willis has been getting better at, but obviously these last couple of weeks has had some struggles. He has a tendency, according to Coach Beatty, to either lock in on a receiver or pick out a route that he's just convinced is going to be there, rather than working through his progressions, seeing what the defense is giving him, and adjusting accordingly. He's got clearly the best arm talent on the team, and he has the ability to make some throws that nobody else on this team can make in terms of placement. And we saw that versus TCU. A couple of balls he dropped in there over the shoulder of his receiver, 35 yards downfield, you know, on the dot, on the money, you know. And yet there are some read issues with him, recognition of what the defense is doing that a lot of young quarterbacks deal with, but it's something that you hate to see, you know, plaguing him at this juncture in the season. And quite frankly, that's a big reason why he didn't win the job outright in the preseason. And if you go back and look at Coach Beatty's press conference from a couple of weeks ago when he first named Willis the starting quarterback, he mentioned he's really made progress in defensive reads and defensive scouting, noticing what they're about to show. And that was what kind of tipped their hand toward Willis, in addition to the struggles, obviously, of Cozart. But he wasn't completely where they'd like him to be, and we've kind of seen that struggle kind of play out a little bit more these last 2 weeks. So hopefully he'll have a chance to correct some of those wrongs versus Oklahoma State, but it's a very good defense. And they got a kid named Vincent Taylor up front on the defensive line that could make it a long afternoon on homecoming for Ryan Willis if he doesn't have good protection. So needs to be a full 11-guy effort here, with the receivers getting open quicker, the line blocking better, and obviously Ryan making the right reads and getting the ball out of his hands as quickly as he can.
Oklahoma State, as you mentioned, coming up this weekend, kind of looking at what they bring to the table. Mason Rudolph's already thrown for over 2,000 yards this season, 13 touchdowns and just 2 picks. A very potent offense at times that Oklahoma State has, averaging just under 40 points a game.
Yeah, they're really good. I mean, you look at them on film, and I think the team speed to me is what jumps off the page. You look at some of the dynamic playmakers they have, James Washington at receiver. I think sometimes when we talk about D.D. Westbrook there in the same state, or Katie Cannon, who we saw last week, we tend to forget his name in that conversation of elite Big 12 receivers, but he absolutely belongs in that mix. And then you look at a guy like Justice Hill at running back. He's a freshman out of Tulsa, and I'm telling you, man, this kid is a jet. He jumps off the film as much as any when it comes to just straight-on speed and shiftiness, athleticism. He's really going to be a talent. Of course, Barry Sanders' kid's on this team as well. You and I grew up watching him, Dusty, and he's not the big-time player that his father was, but still, on special teams and as a reserve running back, is a guy you have to respect, the former Stanford Cardinal. And then they're going to get Chris Carson back at running back, who hasn't been there since week two, so they're going to come at Kansas in waves of skill position talent, and I think that's something that has to be concerning for Clint Bowen, but at the same time, it's nothing he hasn't already seen in the last 3 weeks. When you talk about Texas Tech and Patrick Mahomes, TCU and Kenny Hill this past week, with Seth Russell throwing to Katie Cannon, having the likes of some of the elite running backs that Baylor can throw at you, Shaq Linwood and Terrence Williams. So it's just another week in the Big 12 when you've got these types of playmakers. And I think that was indicative last season, too. You know, you look at the NFL draft, and here was Sterling Shepard, and you know, you had Keem Grant and Corey Coleman from Baylor. Every week it was a different guy. Josh Dotson, first round pick of the Washington Redskins, and that's the kind of playmaking talent in these offenses that score 40 plus points per game, of which Oklahoma State is one. The defensive coordinators in our conference have to worry about week in and week out, and I think Clinton Bowen, more times than not, has proven that this Kansas defense can absolutely hold its own. I know folks didn't watch the game last week, hear me say that, and say, Brian, you gave up 49 points. Keep in mind, one of those drives started on the 4-yard line, and several of those drives started inside Kansas territory in addition to that. And so they've done a really good job in holding their own, and a good job in damage control and limiting points off turnovers when they're set up with a short field.
You know, we're talking with Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, here on Katy Country 94 on the Sports Ticket. Shifting gears a little bit, on Monday, the Big 12 Conference announced that they were going to stay at a 10-team league. And just kind of looking at some of the things, you know, Bourne and Bowlesby felt like they were saying all the right things. I don't know necessarily if I agree that they said all the right things, but it is what it is right now. The Big 12 is going to stay at 10 members. From a KU perspective, how do you feel that that affects them, and what does that mean down the road from in your eyes from a KU perspective on that?
Well, I guess it all depends on if you're a doom and gloom Chicken Little that thinks that if they don't fortify the league with two more teams before the Grand Rights is done here in 2025 and the league's going to disband because Texas and Oklahoma are going elsewhere. There are many that say that. There are many outside the conference that feel like, man, you know, this was not good PR because they led these 19 institutions on for 15 months and then ultimately didn't do anything. And this is bad PR. They don't have a unified voice and all this stuff. This is what's being said. And I understand why. Having said that, did you really see two teams out there as a pair that were going to make this conference better in terms of quality, not just quantity? To me, it's got to be both. And,
yeah.
And, you know, if we could hop in the DeLorean and go back in time and have a chance at Louisville and you add them to a Cincinnati or a Houston, well, that makes a little bit more sense.
Mm-hmm.
But quite frankly, you know, with all due respect to these schools right now, in terms of what you'd be adding, there were some B-minus options. And they're wanting to hold out for an A, and that may seem unrealistic right now. But, hey, a lot can change over the next 8 or 9 years here in terms of somebody becoming available, maybe from a major conference, you know, like we've seen at other times with, you know, Maryland, Texas A&M, Nebraska, Colorado, who left a major conference to go to another major conference. Things can change. And I think the prudent thing in this case was to just hit the pause button and not do anything that's, you know, be reacting too soon to the fact that they were left out of one of the first two college football playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
I, for one, think this was a prudent decision. Obviously, the communication and getting to this point when you have some people speaking out of turn, perhaps, left the Big 12 with a little bit of a black eye PR-wise. But at the end of the day, they're pleasing their TV partners. And I think they had a big voice in this. You talk about ESPN and ABC and Fox in terms of, okay, well, we understand you want to add, but we don't want a watered-down product either. And so if you're going to add, let's make sure it's the right quality, not just the sake of quantity. And I don't think they felt they had that right now. And so I realize they're kind of a punching bag right now for some of the national pundits this week. But in the grand scheme of things, maybe we'll look back on this 5 or 6 years from now if they're able to find a better fit and say, okay, for a short-term PR hit, they had a long-term gain because they didn't act too quickly in terms of you know, just reacting to the first couple of college football playoff results, instead waited and found a better fit overall for the league. I think that's what the hope is, obviously. And from a Kansas perspective, you know, clearly we want to see football get better. So if there is some kind of major change, you know, 9 years from now, that you know, it's not just this awesome basketball school that at that point, you know, we hope will have won 21 consecutive Big 12 titles. but no, and I think football is getting better in that regard. But, you know, I'm not willing to read too much into the doomsday scenarios just yet because a lot can transpire between now and 2025.
Shifting gears again, the volleyball team now 17-2 overall, 6-1 in the conference. They've won 5 straight matches. What's the feeling right now with KU volleyball there in Lawrence?
Well, they're just having a whale of a year, and you tip the cap to Ray Bouchard because when you go to your first Final Four and you start out the year preseason top five, it's a whole different ball game in terms of having an X on your back and having everybody gunning for you, playing the role of the hunted instead of the hunter, and they've really handled that well. And you expect that when you've got as many veterans on this team as he does. But I think that starts at the top with his leadership, and I really feel like at every turn we're seeing this team, you know, realize the expectations set out in front of them and hopefully surpass them once the postseason rolls around. But it's exciting. You know, the fan base is obviously into it. It's a sold-out deal every time they're at home at the Horse Center, and they're talking about adding things to the game day element for next season in terms of video board and stuff like that, which is really cool because it's not just a novelty anymore of, oh, yeah, have you checked out this volleyball team? I mean, you got the diehards that are planning their weeks around home games and starting to look at postseason travel, and that's neat because usually, you know, typically you only see that in the month of March, and right now we're seeing it throughout the fall, and it really is quite a coup. I see other head coaches of our program showing up for the volleyball games because it's kind of an in-vogue place to be and place to be seen, and that's really neat because Ray Bouchard's put in an amazing career, and we saw this coming for the last 5 or 6 years, but to see it now sustained like this at a national prominence and conference dominance level, I think it's really been exciting, and kudos to Shea and Zanger, too, for equipping him with the resources to make this happen.
And we're talking with Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, here on our weekly chat, brought to you by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Michelle, 118 North Mill and Blood, or call them at 738-5701. Real quick, the KU men's basketball team. Earlier this week, KU guard Frank Mason named to the Bob Cousy Watch List, which is an award given to basketball's best player at each position since 2004. Probably a lot of buzz going around there about basketball starting up soon, right?
No doubt, always is. I think the buzz begins about a week after the previous season ends. You know, another ESPN puts out that way too early top 25, gets fans start buzzing, and then it just gradually builds from there. But when you got the number one freshman in the country coming in, Josh Jackson, who has looked really good at practice. I mean, this kid, silky smooth, he's electric off the bounce, he's got long wingspan, which makes him a great on-ball defender. And he's got a nice jump shot too. You know, he can attack the rim and posterize you, or he can step back and on a one dribble shot from 22 feet, have the net hardly move because it's right down the center. He's impressive. And Udoka Azubuike is a 7-footer who's 17 years old out of Nigeria. I think fans are just going to fall in love with, and he'll get better and better as the season goes on. He's one of those guys you're afraid he's going to pull down the rim every time he goes up to finish. And when you got those types of freshmen coming in, Mitch Lightfoot, too, who's rated 67th in his class overall, on top of a veteran backcourt that you just alluded to with Frank Mason and Devontae Graham. And then obviously on top of that, you've got, you know, studs like Carlton Bragg that we feel could have a breakout year. He's put on 30 pounds since his first day on campus. And you look at Steve Mikhailuk, who's ready to take that next step and maybe be a double-digit scorer for you. Landon Lucas in the post. So much to be encouraged about, and can't wait to see how all this unfolds for KU basketball as they go for 13 straight, which would match John Wooden and UCLA for the most consecutive conference championships ever.
All right. Are you ready for the off the wall?
Let's do it, man.
I've actually got...
brings it strong every week, so I'm excited to see what Dusty can do.
I've actually got two of them, real quick ones. The first one is our Facebook question of the day. Who's the most famous person you've ever met? You've made a lot of travels, so you probably got some guys on there, right?
Yeah, most famous person ever. I'm trying to think about this. You know, for me, I've met a lot of athletes in my time, but
exactly,
there was never one that was a bright-eyed moment bigger than when I got to walk Cal Ripken Jr. down this 300-yard corridor underneath the underbelly of Royal Stadium to where KMBZ had a headset for any of their guests from the opposing dugout. I was a pimply-faced, scrawny 19-year-old intern back in the day. It was the summer of 1999, and I was working for Soren Petro on the Fortune and Petro show, and I got to spin that 300-yard walk with Cal, and, you know, at that impressionable state of my youth, and Cal being on his farewell tour at that point, it's his final season, you know, they wanted to have him on to kind of send him off in style, and it was amazing, because he was so gracious, and he didn't look at me as this, you know, little nothing intern kid. He treated me with respect as if I was his peer and had been doing it for 20-some years, and that to me was an amazing moment, as much for the grace and class that he showed me as the magnitude of his stardom. So that would definitely be one that sticks out in my mind.
And the second one, I was just thinking of this because I enjoy going to the press box and eating the meals at press boxes, right? So I'm gonna ask you, eliminating Kansas, because I know they have the best press box meals that there are since you work for them. Where's the best place to eat a press box meal at?
You know, I think it's in one of our departed Big 12 brethren of days gone by. I used to love Nebraska.
Yeah.
They'd have a huge spread on football game days. The line went country mile long, and they had Valentino's Pizza, which I loved. I grew up on that in Topeka before they left Kansas with many of their locations. And so you had salad bar, you had meat, you had pizza, maybe some lasagna. Obviously, they had brownies and ice cream, and that's why all of us fatties in the media have such big waistlines, because we just sit up there and feed our faces while the guys down on the field are doing all the hard work.
Yeah, I know a guy that complains about the ice cream selection at Bill Snyder Family Stadium. I'm like, what are you complaining about, man? It's free ice cream.
It's free and it tastes good, man. It's good stuff.
Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, here on the Sports Ticket today. Brian, thanks for the time, as always, and we'll look forward to talking with you next week, all right?
Thanks, Dusty. Really appreciate you, pal. Have a great day.
All right, you too.